Welcome to the weekly broadcast of Let's Talk About It, produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5 Radio. Let's Talk About It is directed by Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. This program brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. Let's Talk About It is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte Garcia, Director. And now, let's join our co-hosts, Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley, for today's program.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. This is Let's Talk About It, your voice for radio wellness, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Coming at you every week for like the past 18 years. 18 years of wellness. We've been doing wellness radio longer than a couple of our guests today have even been on this planet. So give it up to us. If you're a county employee and you're listening for your wellness points, thank you for tuning in today. New listeners, welcome aboard. Longtime listeners, welcome back. As many of you already know, you're going to hear the show today, and you're going to say, you know what? Cousin Johnny really needs to hear this show. It's stuff that's important to him. You know, his kids are going to Calexico. They're not doing so well. Something's happening. And so what I want you to do is I want you to go to the podcast. The podcast is located at the KXO Radio website. It's the Let's Talk About It. You click on that, and you get your podcast links. We want you to click on this podcast. And what we want you to do is we want you then to copy and paste and send it via electronic means. So it could go by email, it could go by WhatsApp, it could go by Snapchat, it could go by, you could tweet it to somebody, I don't care. And get it to them so that they listen to it, because that's how community mental health works. You see, we've got the experts, we get the experts' takes on supportive mental health services for this community. It's very specific to this community. And then you all spread it out to everybody else. We get 2,000 downloads a month, it goes out to everybody. I'm sure that makes all of our guests a little bit more nervous today, but that's okay. We got this. So we want you to do your part and get the show out, because that's really what's going to make the show impactful in the community. It's not the brilliance of the people speaking today, which that's going to happen. But ultimately, whether other people hear that, especially the people who need to hear it. Okay? So welcome aboard. Thanks for tuning in today, and let's kick this off. I'm joined today by a former behavioral health employee, a longtime friend, and now a licensed clinical social worker, who's a clinical social worker for Calexico Unified School District. Eva Lara, welcome aboard, and so good to have you back. We haven't done this in a while.
Hello, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
I'm really happy to be here today. To showcase part of our students from Calexico High School. I'm Eva Lara. I'm the clinical social worker. And today, we were gladly invited by Behavioral Health to conduct this radio show. And I want to introduce two of our stars from Calexico High School. It's Abby and Kelly. They are both participants and active participants of the Right Hand Committee, which is a committee developed by Calexico High School's principal, Ms. Williams. And I'm going to let them talk a little bit about themselves and a little bit about what the committee is all about. Thank you so much, Scott. It's really nice talking to you today.
Sure thing. Well, let's jump in with Abby. Abby, tell us about the Right Hand Committee.
Well, it was developed this year by Ms. Williams and some of the students.
So it's a pandemic event.
It actually started in the pandemic, but yeah. We plan to prolong this throughout the years.
Good. Cool. So you and Kelly were selected for this. Or did you run for it? Or did you campaign?
It was free for any students to join, really. but not many were very interested. So it's a very small club currently.
Like 10 people? 5 people?
Well, it's not that small. It's more close to 20.
Nice. So it's not teeny tiny. It's not completely under the radar. So, okay, so what motivated you to join the Right Hand Committee, Abby?
Well, my mom is very good friends with Miss Molly, who is a secretary, I believe, mm-hmm. at the Ninth Grade Academy, and she encouraged me to join since there weren't any freshmen in the club yet. So I'm the baby freshman of the club.
You are the token, which means by the time you're a senior, you're going to be like president of the presidents of the president of the right-hand committee, right? Isn't that how it works? It will, yes, because you were here when you were a freshman, right? What is your experience, Abby, as a freshman, fresh person? What is your experience been on being on this committee? What's it been like? It must be something kind of new.
It is. I don't really know much about the school because it's all upperclassmen, and they've been showing me, like, the ropes, everything I'll be able to do once I get to the main campus, and everything I would have been able to do if we weren't in a pandemic. So.
I bet you they have tears in their eyes when they're describing all of the things that they can't do that you might be able to do someday, but they can't do their senior year. They're losing their senior year of all these experiences.
Yes, it's very sad. They also love to talk about how we can connect with our freshman class currently, since they as freshmen didn't feel connected because they were on different campuses. Because there's the ninth grade campus, and then there's the main campus.
Right. So they're actually trying to bridge that gap now, because they were one of the first groups to feel that separation. Calexico hasn't been separated, that ninth grade hasn't been separated that long.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Kelly, tell us about your right-hand committee experience. What has this been like for you?
Well, it's actually one of the first clubs I joined. Since it's because I'm a junior, and I haven't joined really that much clubs or activities, so the Right Hand Committee was actually the first club I joined. And so far, we do a lot of projects. We come up with a lot of projects to do to improve the school, and I think, I've been enjoying it so far. I've been actively trying to help out or getting involved with the school and improving it. So I really like it so far.
Nice. Now, were you just like, did you wake up and it's junior year and you needed something for your college resume, or you know, what motivated you to join the club?
At first, I think part of my motivation to join the club was for the college application. I'm not gonna lie, but
all right.
Yeah, but I did find interest in trying to get involved and help out, because I've been always wanting to trying to improve the school in any kind of way, because I found a lot of flaws. Well, not flaws, but I found that
areas of improvement.
Yes, areas of improvement. And I wanted to just try to help out as much as I can.
That's a really nice motivation. So what your experience has been, this is exactly what you signed up for? Has it been really productive, and you feel like the Right Hand Committee has that effect upon the school ultimately?
Yes, I do, but at the same time, again, we're in a pandemic, so there's not much that we can do. But I know that this club has, like, the correct motive. So, like, once we get back, I know that they're going to be more productive and directly make changes for the school.
So let's circle back into the pandemic. Let's stay with Kelly. So how are you coping with your mental health during the pandemic? You guys are still school from home, or have you gone back yet?
I decided not to go back yet, but I've been coping because my mental health hasn't been, like, the most ideal. I've been demotivated a lot, and especially with school stuff. But I've been coping through, like, trying to commit into challenging hobbies. So one of them would be guitar playing. I've picked up my guitar and started, you know, like, these are my getaway hobbies, just to, like, spend hours after hours just trying to play something.
Our producer's a guitar player. It is everything he can do not to butt into the middle of the interview right now and give you like a huge thumbs up because he lives and loves his guitar. Has that helped though as the guitar playing? Because as we know in the mental health side, you know, hobbies are can be really good for your mental health because they you know can bring you into things that you love and that gives you energy to sit through the history Zoom at hour 6 of high school.
Yeah, it did help me. It helped me distract like any negative thoughts or feelings because I'm just trying to perfect a song rather than think about, oh, I have something due like next week or I have a test to prepare for. So it does help me get distracted and, you know, get lost in the chords, guitar chords.
Nice. How's the pandemic been for you, Abigail? Are you back to school yet or no?
No, I decided not to go back yet. But I, like Kelly, have picked up a couple hobbies. I recently started going on a lot of walks with my two dogs. I picked crocheting back up. I learned it quite young. It's been very relaxing during the pandemic, helped me calm down because I tend to get very stressed. And I've picked up being very clean, I guess you can say. I started cleaning around the house a lot more. It helps calm me, I guess. So that's been helpful.
Thousands of parents listening right now are all going, why didn't my kid get that? You know, those are all really interesting coping things too, Abby. What about your ninth grade friends, your peer group?
Well,
what have you heard in terms of their handling the pandemic?
I actually don't have that many friends because I'm also new to Calexico District.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I used to go to El Centro. But I've made a couple friends online. I have two close friends in my algebra class. And then I have these other two close friends that I talk to occasionally in English class. And something that I all think we've been able to help with us is music. Like, I myself have gotten really into music and learned a lot of new artists and bands that I've been interested in. And I know my friends have started to get back into listening to it more, which has helped a lot of us, I think.
Nice. What about you, Kelly? In terms of peers, what have you known? I mean, you're a junior class member, right? And you guys are experiencing this differently than freshmen, obviously. How's it been for your class and your group of friends?
Well, considering that it's junior year and we're so stressed out on college decisions and what to do and our future, I feel like most of my friends are really stressed out and there is a lack of resources because it's the pandemic. We have to do everything by ourselves.
Right.
So we feel so independent and so like disorganized when it comes to college and how to prepare for like our future. I feel like we feel really unprepared, and I know that they're stressed, and I'm stressed as well.
Well, I know one of the things that I read is that college enrollments are down, schools are really struggling to kind of define their admission criteria now with standardized testing being kind of up in the air. You've got less FAFSAs, the federal application for student aid, being completed than ever before. And it all really, I mean, to a certain extent, seniors are going to be a part of this. But many times by the time senior years come, you've already sent all your stuff out. You're just waiting to hear whether you're accepted or not. Junior year is a really critical year for. So do you guys ever kind of look at each other and kind of like slap each other and go, hey, wake up, we got to get this going. You know, we can't let the world run over us like this.
Yeah, so occasionally we go, like, we have these weekly calls, and, like, we would just call each other and try to talk to each other about these stuff, and the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I don't know what to do. And I kind of understand them, and I tried my best to, like, join these college, like, get ready for college type of the meetings.
Yeah.
So I can give them information. So I'm usually, like, the messenger for these information.
Do you hop into this as, like, a right-hand committee representative person? Or are you still Kelly? Or how's that work?
I think, yeah, kind of, but I'm still Kelly. I just want them to be prepared, and I want them to be on board when everything's happening, like everything goes back to normal.
You know, it's funny because you mentioned your own kind of demotivational moments during this pandemic. How often does it come back to you kind of going, oh my goodness, I'm a member of the right-hand committee. I need to set a higher standard here. I need to be the example. I need to be the bringer of good energy. Is that something that motivates you? Does that actually kind of get to you sometimes?
Yes, being a club member, I guess I would feel like this responsibility to try to be on board at least.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just keep educated, like keep motivated with everything. But I do get demotivated a lot. But I just have to remember that, oh, I'm part of this club and I have some goals to set up and I need to influence my friends.
Now, with teenagers already, stuff like sleep patterns become a really big deal. And some, you know, as parents of teenagers, we have to kind of keep track of, you know, making sure that we have our orange screens turned on to our apps so that we're not like staying up all night with bright lights in our eyes. How has it been for you, Kelly? Were you impacted by sleep? Was your schedule messed up? I mean, all this staying at home stuff really does bring changes.
Yeah, I sleep really late, and then I wake up extremely late as well. So I'm still getting the good hours of sleep in, but it's like...
But your clock has shifted to the natural teenage clock of 2 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, something like that. So my sleeping schedule hasn't been really good, but at least I'm getting some 8 hours in.
Well, yeah, and as long as it's not really, you know, as long as your like your morning classes aren't F's because you're never there, I mean, that's kind of the trade-off of sleep patterns. Right? How about you, Abigail? How's your sleep? How have you been holding up that way in terms of your physical?
It's changed, but not as drastically, I think, as Kelly's. In eighth grade or before the pandemic, I was in the habit of going to sleep at around 8 or 9. And now it's more like 11 or 12. But I still wake up closely the same time. I used to wake up around 6. Now it's more like 7. But I do have friends where their sleep schedule has changed drastically. There are times where they can't sleep at all, or they go to sleep at 6 in the morning, or they wake up an hour later, or they just get close to 5 minutes of sleep. And I worry for them, but there's not much I can do to help them online, since we're not really meeting each other in person.
Right, right. That really limits it, because ultimately people can turn off their notifications or sleep through them, as the case may be, and that kind of limits your ability to shake them by the shoulders and say, hey, snap out of it. Now, I know that throughout the Valley, schools have really, really taken responsibility and embraced the challenges of the pandemic. I really want to say that with all sincerity, because I think right away, like in the high school levels, high schools recognized some of the risks, some of the concerns, some of the challenges that their students were facing, and they started doing a lot of different types of interventions to help support students during their year of the pandemic or whatever this is going to turn into. What has that been like, you know, for you guys as consumers, as students? How has it been to experience some of those supports, and what kind of things have you noticed the school doing in terms of helping you guys get through this safely? Kelly, let's start on your side.
I know that there's been like mental health presentations given by the school, and teachers are constantly reassuring you that everything's okay. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to support you as you go through this. But it does get lost, especially during testing season, that we're constantly studying, trying to cover as much topics. But I think teachers and administrators are doing a great job at trying to reassure us and try to prepare us as the exams unfold.
Nice. So, but the academic focus really, as usual, kind of begins to kind of just really take precedence, it sounds like, especially for you as a junior, I imagine.
Yeah, it does blur the line that, like, are my teachers really trying to reassure me? Are they really there to support me, or are they just saying that? But it does, but they are trying. The thing is that they are trying.
Well, yeah, and as Abigail was pointing out, the limitations of electronic connection.
Mm-hmm.
So even if your teacher is concerned with, a 30 pictures of Zoom in front of them when they're teaching a class, it's harder to make those connections. Do you have a way to talk to adult teachers individually?
Yeah, you could talk to them directly through email, or just share in the middle of the class how you're feeling. Or on Fridays, we usually have advisory period. So we get to talk about our feelings, and especially one of my teachers, my advisory teachers, she would ask us how we're doing, or like our experiences, and we have this like moment to share.
Nice. Now, do you guys have like, I know like in college campuses, they've got like weird office hours or stuff where you could like drop in or virtually drop in, I guess in this case. Do you have that option as well?
Yes, we do have office hours, but mostly people use them to go just attend to tutoring. But I know that there are some people that just drop in just to talk to the teacher.
Nice. How's that been for Abigail as a freshman, transitioning into high school, transitioning into a new community? How has it been in terms of school supports? What kind of things have you noticed and have been helpful for you?
Well, for me, I haven't really seen that much school support for mental health for me as a freshman. Like, most of my teachers don't cover it, maybe just one or two. And even if they do, they don't go over it very well or thoroughly. I have this one teacher where on Fridays, I'm pretty sure this is for everyone, but Fridays is our mental health wellness day, where you only have one period that you go into on Zoom, and you will talk or watch a video or maybe go over schoolwork. And the rest of the day, it's still a school day, considered a school day, but it's kind of like a breather, which for me, it's kind of contradictory. I can't say that word, but it contradicts because it's supposed to be a breather. Yet I feel more overwhelmed on Friday because we get more asynchronous work. We're supposed to do more work individually on our own without much help. And I think that's harder for me because it's this day we're supposed to be checking up on our mental health and having a breather. Yet this is when they pile all the work on us.
So my mental health would be, let me slack hard, let me slack well, and let me slack all Friday long. And I would come back on Monday feeling a lot better about, the whole thing instead of like this double down and do a lot of individual. On the other side, on the other hand, though, I think very few adults other than teachers maybe really understand how exhausting it is to do 4 to 6 hours of Zoom a day. I've got not every day, but many days, I've got 4 to 6 hours of Zoom. I feel like I've been run over by a bus by the end of the day. It's a whole different level of attention. And, you would think it would be like easier, and it really isn't. I don't know if your experiences have been that way as well. Either way.
I guess I'll go first. But for me, it hasn't really been how you may say it, that you would think it's been easier. For me, I think it has been easier because 4 to 6 hours of Zooming where the teacher is going over the material with us and helping us rather than just giving us work to do on our own for those 4 to 6 hours. I think preferred rather than it being dumped on us.
Nice. You like that. How about you, Kelly? You like do you feel the Zooming all day effect?
Yes, I don't really like being in front of a screen all day because after class I would just be on my phone or like doing homework, so it's more screen time adding on to my day. and I don't really like that. So, and I really like being in a school setting, like in a school environment. I like sitting down in a classroom facing a teacher and them lecturing us, anything but staring at a screen.
Walking from class to classes, you know.
Yeah.
Miss those moments. Well, you know, okay, this is, we'll kind of take a short break. This is Let's Talk About It. We're sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We're here with the Calexico High School Right Hand Committee and Eva Lara, who's the clinical social worker for Calexico Unified School District, and Abigail and Kelly representing the committee. And we're going to be right back after this short break. We'll keep going on this.
Let's Talk About It, bringing community mental health issues to your radio. Listen each Sunday morning to KXO AM 1230 at 7 a.m. and now on Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Or log on to KXORadio.com for a five-minute podcast highlight of the show or the show in its entirety. This program is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO AM 1230 and FM 107.5. Let's Talk About It is presented as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome, everyone, to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. This is your wellness radio for both Mexicali and Imperial County. I'm your host, Maria Wyatt, and my co-host is Mr. Scott Dudley.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. You know, if you want to ask Abigail or Kelly a question, or Eva even a question, you can email us at wellnessradio, no spaces, all small letters, at co.imperial.ca.us. If you're scrambling for a pencil right now, I'll repeat it. It's wellnessradio at co.imperial.ca.us. And any questions or comments, will make my phone go off right now, and Mario will edit that out of the radio conversation. But feel free to contact us for sure. We're joined by Eva Lara. She's a clinical social worker, licensed clinical social worker, who's also a clinical social worker for Calexico Unified School District. And we're joined by the right-hand committee members selected especially for this radio interview. I'll have to ask them how they got picked for this. The right-hand committee is a committee of students that advises the administration at Calexico Unified High School. So Abigail and Kelly are our representatives. So, Kelly, I got one for you. Based on your experiences this year, both in the pandemic, personally, with your friends, with everything else, and based on your experiences with the right-hand committee, what is your belief at this point in terms of the students being able to manifest positive change in a school campus environment?
I believe that there... I don't really know, but I feel like the students are really trying their best to keep up with everything. And also trying to, the participant of the club, I feel like they're trying their best to get Ms. Williams, our principal, to help get involved with everything going on.
So do you really feel like you've got the ear of the principal, right? I mean, that she is interested in what the right-hand committee thinks about what can be done to make education a more positive, productive experience in Calexico.
Yes, so the club is actually her, it was her idea. So, she's kind of like she is our advisor.
Advisor, yeah.
Yeah, so she's directly listening and engaging in our conversation. And she's usually the one that brings up our ideas with the administrator.
What kind of ideas have popped up so far?
So far, there was a project with inclusivity, so we were trying to get that project going, and it did help, but I'm not sure.
So inclusivity, like we're gonna include ninth graders in our conversations, or what do we mean? What do we mean by inclusivity?
I think it needs a little bit more than that.
Oh yeah, it was the ninth grader, and we try to make them feel inclusive on the high school experience. Because again, the campus is separated, so they do feel left out, and we wanted to bring them in the high school conversation.
So how did you reach out to them? I'm just kind of curious how it ended up manifesting into some sort of action.
So we have Abigail in the club, and she's like our freshman representative, and she tells her how her class is feeling. And we listen, and we try to, you know, like, serve or make a project that serves to them.
So, Abigail, do you actually reach out to your classmates and say, hey guys, I'm the right hand committee, and they want to know how your life is. I mean, do you SurveyMonkey with them or something?
Well, I've done a couple surveys with some of my teachers to get their opinions on things. I also ask my close friends and some of my mutuals in my classes, which has helped.
Nice.
But it's kind of new because nobody really knows what the right-hand committee is yet.
Right, right. It's almost an advantage, Kelly, in some respects, because you can make this committee do what you dream it to be able to do rather than what it's traditionally done, because there is no tradition behind it.
Yeah, so technically we're trying to create this tradition or this club, and since it's our first year, we get to do whatever we want to do with the club, and hopefully it carries out for the rest of the other years.
Nice. How often does mental health come into the conversation when you guys are talking about making school a better experience?
It's usually the highlight of the conversation because Ms. William is a great advocate for mental health, and especially with the pandemic, mental health is often the topic that comes along with like school improvements. So we try our best to address these problems by just getting educated ourselves on how to respond to like, oh, I'm sad or I don't feel good. And we try to get the information we need.
Nice. How about for you, Abigail? Is it different for ninth graders than juniors in terms of mental health?
Yes, I think so. Because there often isn't as much pressure on us because freshman year is supposed to be your breather year. But for us, I don't feel it's been that way for us, even though it's really been easier on us than juniors, because of the pandemic. You know, it's put a lot of weight on all of the students.
So, okay, and sorry, I came late into the show. But, so if one of your classmates, and this goes to either one of you, either Abby or Kelly, if one of your classmates comes with a they're saying that they're really sad and they just don't know what to do. Do you know how to reach out or who to reach out to?
I feel like when giving advice, it's really hard to give good advice because sometimes they either want reassurance or an advice. Sometimes they just want someone to listen most of the time. And when you give out advice, it just comes off as really blunt or like, oh, I don't really care about your problem, so it's just an advice I pull out. But I feel like if my friends were to come to me like, oh, I'm sad, I usually let them talk about it first. And then if they do want advice, then I try my best to give out an advice. But usually the advice I would say is try to talk about it. Just don't bottle up your feelings. Try to express your feelings one way or another. And I just try my best to listen.
That's awesome because, you know, working in the mental health field, that's something that I told my daughter from the beginning because as soon as she was able to speak. And now she really tells me what's inside. And sometimes it's just like, oh gosh, what did I do? Which is good. It's good that she really tells me, and sometimes I go, oh my god, man, she sounds pretty good. Actually, that's something that, you know, she should be the parent. I mean, she's really vocal, and so I'm glad that you know, that's to say, you know, let them, you know, speak out, you know, speak to somebody, you know, don't follow it up, don't keep it inside.
You know, it's interesting as an older adult, I guess. I can't roll back and say to Kelly, well, I remember my year as a high school person in a pandemic because it never happened.
It never happened.
Right? So in a weird way, Kelly, you guys are the holders of this very unique cultural experience that no one ever else went through. And so you're going to be the experts. And so I would almost guess that peer to peer is going to have more relevance in some respects than kid to parent. Because kid to parent is really important. Don't get me wrong. But we don't have the lived experience of a year of lockdown in our parents' houses. I can't even imagine. What was the biggest surprise, good and bad, for you, Kelly, in terms of being locked in your parents' house for a year and trying to go to school?
Well, I don't know. I think I did enjoy sometimes in the pandemic just being in my house, just trying to bond with my family one way or another. But there was bad, like, I usually want to see my friends most of the time, and being told, no, you can't go out to see your friends, it wasn't necessarily really hard on me, but it was surprising. Like, I can't see my friends for a year in person.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to the point yet where you can see them yet, or still no?
It's still a no. I still haven't seen them.
Oh, wow.
How about for you, Abigail, in addition to moving to a different district?
Well, for me, it's also been really hard with friends, especially because I haven't actually met them yet. it's been really hard because I realize how little control I have over my schedule, because there have been times where we want to make plans to meet each other because our parents are okay with that, as long as, like, we wear masks and everything. But we haven't been able to pick a date because we don't know what our plans are in our schedules because our parents make all of them. So it's been really hard to decide on one date because, like, oh, this day is free for, like, maybe two of us. But then there's one friend, oh, I actually have plans that weekend because my parents didn't tell me. So that's been very difficult. To, you know, actually choose a date to connect with them.
Is your sense that this will ever go back to normal, or do you think it's just going to be some sort of modified like it is now, forever?
Well, I don't know, because even before the pandemic, I still had very little control over my schedule.
Yeah.
Other than, like, a school day. I really only saw any of my friends at school or at, like, parties that my parents knew of. So, I guess that's just how it is for us kids with strict parents.
So, yeah. So you really, I mean, you wish that this would be over and go back to school?
Yeah, because that's really the only place I have control to where I can choose to see my friends.
Yeah. I think that's the same, you know, I have a 14-year-old, it's her freshman year, but this is not the freshman year that she wanted. You know, she wanted to be at school, and she's an only child, so she would be at home alone. When this all happened, I was working, and she was by herself all day. And that really, and I noticed that it did affect her emotionally. She was really kind of like, I'm really looking forward to anything. So yeah, when our school district in Imperial said you could go virtual or in school, she said, yeah, I'd rather go in school. I want to go in school. I was like, oh, that's my daughter. But yeah, so it's something that you guys need. You guys need your friends.
Now for Abby and Kelly, it looks like vaccinations are going to be approved for 12 to 18-year-olds, which means it's going to get both of you. Is that something that you're looking forward to? Because in theory, once you're vaccinated and relatively hard to catch COVID and relatively hard to be badly affected by it, schools could reopen almost fully with some precautions. And senior year for Kelly could be like almost like senior year, except with masks on.
Yeah.
You looking forward to that, Kelly?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting vaccinated. I haven't yet, but I'm looking forward to setting up an appointment, getting vaccinated, and hopefully everything going back to normal.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like that. Now, during this time, you've really had no way to get out of the house except electronically. Have you been able to access other community supports? Have you been able to be anything other than school and trapped in your rooms and... Or have you been able to kind of, you know, Calexico Recreation, for example, is a really good example of something locally that does. I mean, I've actually been doing some of their aerobic stuff, you know, because they do really good Zooms. Have you been able to find other, So where do you live when you're not in school and not at home, but electronically? Where do you go and how do you find
social media?
Yeah, I just go directly. I directly go to social media, Instagram, Snapchat, and that's has been my little home, you would say, my virtual home. But I don't know any community resources. Well, I'm not aware of any. But yeah, just social media.
So it is a lot of social media. And Kelly, do you find that to be, does it help your motivation or does it kind of discourage you sometimes? I mean, there's a thing called doom scrolling, for example, where you're just kind of like looking at bad memes over and over and over again. Do you find that you're okay relating to social media, or is it something that sometimes you have to put it down and step away and stuff like that?
Yeah, I do think that there's times where I need to put down my phone, just look away, because there's times where I'd just be scrolling through Instagram, looking at random videos of like slime poking or like DIY, really bad DIY, and I'm just like, oh look, I'm not doing anything productive, so let me just do my homework or clean the house.
Yeah. What about, you know, I know that a lot of people, there's a lot of influencers in social media. And we know that a lot of times, a lot of the people that post pictures, they look so nice. And it seems like they have, you know, they have a wonderful life. But many times all that is fake. You know, that just, they're cropping. You know, they think that they're somewhere on vacation, you know, enjoying themselves, but they just put, you know, the backgrounds to make it look like they're on vacation. So, does that influence you guys? Do you guys, like, you know, I wish I was there? Because I know that could cause a lot of, you know, everybody's having fun except me. Look, everybody else is doing all that stuff except me.
I personally try to stay off of a lot of social media, especially Instagram. I rarely go on there. I think the most social app I have would be either TikTok or Snapchat, because Snapchat is really the only way I communicate with my friends. And I've really been able to distract myself with other things. Like, I'll just get distracted for hours just listening to music and starting a new crochet project, or go on a long walk with one of my dogs, which has really helped.
Love those suggestions.
Awesome.
Hey, let's take another quick break. This is Let's Talk About It, sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. We are here with the Calexico High School Right Hand Committee. Abby and Kelly are representing that. And they're joined by Eva Lara, who's a licensed clinical social worker, who is a clinical social worker for Calexico Unified School District. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and do a little show here. Thanks.
You're listening to Let's Talk About It. If you have questions about services Imperial County Behavioral Health may offer that deal with today's show topic, please feel free to call 760-482-4000. Next week's show topic will be moral recognition therapy in jail groups. Let's Talk About It is presented weekly on KXO AM 1230, FM 107.5, and KXOradio.com as a public service of Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
Welcome back, everyone. You're still listening to your weekly wellness radio. Let's Talk About It. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. If you missed the first parts of this radio show, you can always access the entirety of the show at our podcast at kxoradio.com and click on the Let's Talk About It link, and you can hear this show and many other shows we've had for the past, I don't know, several years. I don't know. We started this show when I didn't even have a daughter. Now she's 14. Now she's taller than me. It's been a while.
And she's listened to the radio show every week, and that's why she's so big and healthy and doing so well. So everybody listen to the show every week, and your kids will turn out wonderfully. Abigail, Kelly, the right-hand committee of Calexico Unified High School. How has this been for you, coming aboard, doing a radio show? This wasn't, when you signed up for the right hand committee, this wasn't really what you thought you'd be doing. How's it been?
Very nerve wracking, to be honest.
Ooh, probably the hosts or something, huh?
Hey, you know what? No, Kelly, Abby, you know what? You guys are doing good. You know why? Because once a bulldog, what? It's always a bulldog.
There
I have to say, it all started in Calexico, and then the other schools, you know, kind of repeat it. You know what? No.
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, we're bulldogs.
I come from two families of bulldogs, so.
Nice. So you didn't move to a new district, you came home.
Yes, I did.
Abby, what's the future hold for you? Have you kind of settled in on who you want to be as you go through this process and eventually grow up and move on?
No, I think I'm still trying to figure out who I am, personally. I really don't know. There's so much going on. I don't really know, especially since I still live with my parents because I'm a minor, and they still have so much control in my life.
Yeah, for safety reasons. And legal reasons.
Yeah, legal and safety.
Mm-hmm.
But I get that, and it's and you know, in fact, there's actually some real wisdom in what you're saying, because why sort it out before you have to, right?
Yeah.
It'll sort itself out. How about you, Kelly? How's this experience been for you in terms of meeting your expectations for adding on to the for growing and developing, not the resume?
I feel like there's been so much responsibilities put on me, especially now that I'm 17, I get to the driver's ed and everything. So, like, the adult task has been piling up, and I'm starting to feel like a young adult now.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, but I'm not paying taxes, though. I don't know, but my parents have been putting a lot of responsibilities, well, adult responsibilities, and they're not looking at me as, like, some kind of, like, naive teen. They're trying to introduce me to the real world.
Nice.
Yeah,
where are you going forward? What do you got?
Yeah, what do you plan?
So far, I'm looking into college. That's all I really have. And then trying to finish my driver's ed or everything. Yeah.
I was talking with one of the people who was on one of the other radio shows, the Active Minds radio show for IBC. And we were in a Zoom meeting the moment she got notified that she was accepted to UC Berkeley. And her face lit up and she started smiling. I was like, this is not about the interview.
Yeah.
Something's going on here.
Do
you dream big like that, Kelly?
Yes, I really want to get accepted to my dream university.
Which is?
UCLA right now, actually. But it's constantly changing week after week.
Nice.
Fun.
What about UCLA? Is it the med school? I mean, the med school's pretty good.
The med school, yeah. The med school, and I really like the city, Los Angeles. It's such a big city, and I want to get out of the valley and try to experience, like, the big city thing.
So you're really hoping the pandemic backs off a little bit because big city in a pandemic is about the same as a small city in a pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
But think about it. I mean, this is you guys are having, I mean, you guys are at high school. This is the time to have, you know, enjoy, you know, you're young, you're only young ones. But, you know, there's also a lot of pressures, a lot of social pressures, a lot of peer pressures, a lot of family pressures.
Global warming. I mean, who even knows if we're going to have a planet
pressure
for you guys?
Environmental pressure. So what do you do? How do you manage? How can you navigate? You know, how can you find any support? Like, what are your supports that you have?
All right, start with Abby.
Me? Well, I have had a lot of support from my upperclassmen in the club. They've really reassured me that just because I'm a freshman that I can do a lot. Does that even make sense? That I can do more. Even though I'm just a freshman, it doesn't matter because I've said a few times that I feel like I haven't been able to do much in the club because I'm a freshman and mostly because I joined the club kind of late in the year. But my upperclassmen have been very helpful. Miss Molly reaches out a lot, which is very helpful. She's very encouraging. My parents as well, and my little sister, one of my biggest supporters. So
it's such a strength, huh?
Yeah.
How about you, Kelly?
Well, I'd say the biggest support I have is my friends and the school. Since my parents are both, like, working parents and they're always busy with their own thing, I just rely on my friends, my siblings, and also the school.
And we feel really low.
Yeah, at the school, where do you go to?
Usually I go to my teachers directly because I'm with them for class for 40 minutes a day. And I think that they're usually they would relate to what you're going through.
Well, we thank both of you guys for coming on board today. Again, the courage, the strength. Your parents are listening. But you said good things about them, so I guess
we're good. Yes, they did.
And Calexico's, is really lucky to have students with your talents and your courage and your ability to step up and do stuff like this, because that's what makes the school special, is the students and their talents, when those talents are brought to bear on making the school better. Ava, let's circle back to you. Let's talk about some of the levels of support that the school has.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you for wrapping this up. I'm really fortunate to be here today with Abby and Kelly. You are wonderful students. Thank you for representing our school. I'm really proud of that. And just to repeat a little bit of the recommendations from our the insightful recommendations from our students, Kelly and Abby, the ways that they have dealt with this whole COVID-19 pandemic and distance learning, all the stress that has been on all of us with all of the things that have happened in the last year. I think it's great that they have support from their friends, from their families, that they find ways of spending their time in doing coping strategies, such as a crochet, such as going out for a walk. And then Kelly learning music and learning instruments. So that's really neat. It's really neat to hear that instinctively our students are finding their ways out of this. And I'm really happy and really proud of them for their resiliency, because this is a once in a lifetime situation. And we're getting through this. So, I just want to talk a little bit about the three levels of support that we have in school. And the first level is, in the school level, the services or the support provided at the school level. And in case one of our students ever has a problem, they need to reach out to the school levels first. So that would be directly to one of their teachers, because usually students have like a teacher that they feel more comfortable with. So that would be the number one step to do. Another way would be reaching out to their counselors. Each student has their counselor assigned to them based on their grade level and their last name. So the second support at school would be reaching out to their counselors. The counselors also have their office hours. They can be contacted via email. Another person, support at school would be the school psychologist and the administrator. So those are the main supports in the school site. I'm also a support for the school, for the students. I'm not stationed in the school site, because I'm divided in several school sites. However, I can also, your clinical social worker can be reached out via email, and that would be me. And I'm an additional support in the school, at the school level. There are other supports outside of school, and that's the local support that we have. And I wanna just thank Behavioral Health, because Behavioral Health is our major support for our students and our families, for students that are having mental health problems or having some emotional or behavioral problems. Behavioral Health is our first local support that we have. And if you, Kelly or Abby or any of the other students that are going through a hard time, they already reached out to the counselor and they are still having some symptoms, the next step would be to contact the outside agency, which would be Behavioral Health. And the number to contact Behavioral Health is 442-265-2000. 1525, and that's the number we need to call to schedule an appointment. We also have other agencies such as Clínicas de Salud del Pueblo, and they can also be reached out via phone, and the number for them is 760-357-2020, and that's another great resource that we have in the community. The students also need to know that they can talk to their parents, and some of them have medical insurance, and through their medical doctor, they can also get evaluated or, you know, see someone through that route as well. So those are the services available in the community outside of our campuses. And the third level, I want to mention the third level because it's also really important. Sometimes we're just going through bad times, but sometimes we may encounter ourselves in at-risk situations where, you know, it's going beyond just having a bad day. So in a case where a student or you know, an adult, anybody who's having a very difficult day, even considering suicide or being in danger to themselves, the resource that we have is, again, locally we have the crisis unit number, which is 1-817. Let me see. I don't have it with me. 1-800-817-5292, and that's the crisis unit number for behavioral health. But we also have the national suicide prevention lifeline, which is the 1-888-628-9454, or we can always call 911, because we want to take care of everybody, and if you or anybody is ever in danger, those are the numbers that we need to call to protect ourselves, to keep ourselves safe. And again, I'm really proud of our students today, and I'm really glad we were able to participate in today's radio show. Thank you so much, Scott. Thank you so much, Maria. It's always a pleasure to see you and to be here in the show. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Eva, important considerations. And thank you so much for Abby and Kelly for coming aboard from the Right Hand Committee. And we'll get this out on podcast so that it can be played on Abigail's Friday Advisory Group. For the whole school district, and that would be an appropriate use for this. Hey, it is May. May is Mental Health Month. Make sure and wear green to keep that. And if you're like Kelly and you're active on social media, use the hashtag IVHopeForChange. IVHopeForChange, and put all your stuff up on public and social media that's mentally health supportive. Abigail, I want to see your crocheting. I want to see your crocheting up at IVHopeForChange hashtag. Together we can get through this as a community. We're going to grow stronger. We're going to come out of this pandemic with lessons learned, and we're going to come on and be ready for the next adventures in our lives. Thank you, Calexico, for coming aboard today, and thank you all for listening. This is Let's Talk About It. We are sponsored by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It. Heard each Sunday morning at 7 a.m. on KXO AM 1230. And each Sunday evening at 7 p.m. on FM 107.5. This weekly broadcast is produced by the Public Affairs Department of KXO Radio under the direction of Mario Espinosa, with the technical assistance of Carol Buckley. Opening and closing narration is provided by Gene Brister. Co-hosts for tonight's program were Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Let's Talk About It brings weekly community mental health issues to your radio. This program is produced for and presented as a public service by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services. Leticia Plancarte, Garcia, Director.